Good morning.
Good morning.
Just saying. I saw it on reruns. It's good to see everybody this morning. We welcome you to worship. So excited that you are here. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. First off, we would like to find out who is in worship today. And the way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. Take that pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information if you choose. Send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. Once it reaches that last person, once you're done, if you could send it back to where it got started, and we do ask that first person, when it comes back to you, please tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you very much for your help. Reminder about a couple of things. Most of these will be in your bulletin under upcoming events or opportunities for the week. But draw your attention to a couple of things. The prayer partner ministry has begun. Last week with our kickoff, we unveiled our prayer partners for this coming school year. We had over 120 students, preschoolers, children, youth, college students, on that table. This morning, we have 30. That in 1 week, that has never happened. It usually takes a month and a half to get all the students assigned, so I want to say thank you for that. But we know that we still have about 30 that are still out there that still need prayer partners. And a lot of people have been missing the last couple of weeks. Please, if you hadn't had a chance to grab the name of a prayer partner, you can choose a child, a teenager, or a college student. And that will just grab their envelope. That will be your prayer partner for the year. We do ask you find their name on the printed list there and write your name beside there so we'll know who's partnering with who. Thank you so much for that. A couple other things. Tonight, our Sunday night ministry for our youth, we'll start with youth choir at 4:30, 5:30 snack supper, and 6 o'clock youth will start. Also, this coming Monday, there is no Monday morning Bible study, so just make note of that. Also, we are having a called conference this Wednesday, dealing with what to do with the rental house. There's been a motion put to the that will be put to the floor for vote this Sunday. So we want you to, called conference at 6:30. So please make sure that you're here and part of that conference. We are having children's time today, so we invite the kids to come down for just a few moments. And other things are listed there in your bulletin. Just make sure you make note of that. Right now, we have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. They would like to say hello to our guest. A few minutes ago, you put your information on the pew pad. Thank you for doing that. We'd like to give something to you. If you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are. And the ushers will find you, and they'll give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, you'll find a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our congregation and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you so much for being a part of worship this day. I have a special announcement. Invite Doug Jordan, Karen Lifter. Y'all come.
This person over here represents what I am coming to speak to you about, the jail and prison ministry. Actually, they wanted me to wear one of those this morning, and Janice wouldn't let me, so. But I want to just speak to you a little bit about the Forsyth Jail and Prison Ministry. It's one of the ministries that some of you are already participating in. We have a worship team that goes out to the jail and to the prison and conducts worship services. We have some that take soap and those kind of things to those in the prison. There are opportunities, and we have people that go to the jail and conduct Bible study classes. And so we're doing all those things. But we need more people doing those things. And it's my thought that many people aren't really don't know how to become involved. There's worship, Bible study, things that you can do. One is just pray. Pray for the inmates that are in the Forsyth jail and also for the those who are in the prison. Collect personal hygiene items and bring them to the church, and they'll be distributed to those who are in the prison and jail and need those items. You can, in your Sunday school classes, you can form prayer teams and pray for not only the inmates, but also pray for their families. You know, sometimes we think about the inmates, but most of them have families, and the families really, really need prayer. If you want to be involved in the worship services, please see me, because we got a training session coming up on October the 18th at 2:30 in the afternoon. That's a Sunday afternoon. It takes about an hour and a half of your time, and we need more people on the worship team. But I want to tell you about a way that you can help right now, real soon, and very, very easy. Coming up on, the date there is the 25th of September. That's only two Sundays away. At 6 p.m., we're going to form a prayer circle, people from all over Winston-Salem, and we're going to surround the whole jail and pray for the inmates and their families as a group. Last year, we didn't have many come from College Park, not as many as we've had in past years. And there weren't as many people there as there usually are, and the prayer circle didn't go all the way around the jail. This year, we want that prayer circle all around the jail, and I would like to see maybe 40 people or so come from College Park and be a part of that prayer ministry. So write on your calendar, Friday, September the 25th at 6 p.m., and we'll be gathered in as to pray. Parking's free at that time of the day. You will need to get there probably about 4:30 or so to get to your place and be ready to pray and begin praying at 5. And that prayer part just lasts about 10 minutes, and then you're free to go home. Karen, do you have any other words for us?
Well, Doug has spoken a lot about what goes on at the prison ministry, and I am just very grateful that we have such a dedicated team who does what they do there. And as he said, we always need more people. Well, you've already seen my outfit. Don't you love it? Not too far from where we're sitting right now, there are about 800 men and women sitting in the Forsyth County Jail wearing something like this. And when I leave here this morning, or before I leave here, actually, I'm going to take mine off. We've been warned not to be caught driving out with this, or we might get stopped. I'm serious about that. I can take mine off, but those people in that jail cannot take theirs off. That's what they wear every day. There's going to come a time, though, when their time will be up, and they will leave. They can take this off, and they'll return into their community. And one of the many goals of the Forsyth Jail and Prison Ministry is to make sure that when they take this off, when they leave, that's the last time they ever see it again. The mission statement of the Forsyth Jail and Prison Ministry is to use Christ's love and forgiveness to transform lives and break the cycle of crime and punishment. The ministry has a small full-time staff who works on this all the time. But as Doug has already talked about, much of what gets accomplished is from community members like you and like me. I just want to give you a little story. Last spring, I attended a graduation service downtown at the jail for women inmates who were graduating from a program called the Seven Habits. And this is based on Stephen Covey's Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And as part of that graduation, each of the graduates gave a little talk. And as I listened to each one of them talk about what that program and what this ministry has meant to them in literally helping them straighten their lives out, it was overwhelming. So this ministry does great things for people who are in great need of God's love. So Doug has already talked to you about Hope on the Inside, going downtown to pray around the jail on Friday evening, September the 25th. And the next day, on Saturday, September the 26th, trained jail volunteers are going to go in and lead a half-day retreat for inmates that is really geared toward a call to Christ, a call to salvation. But that, unfortunately, is not free. It takes about $25 for each individual inmate. So I would invite you to join me in sponsoring, and several people who've already, from the 11 o'clock or 9 o'clock service, already given me money, to help sponsor one or more inmates for that program, $25. I'll be standing out here at the door as we leave this morning with envelopes. I think Doug has some envelopes. Or if you just want to write a check to the Forsyth Jail and Prison Ministry for $25 or more, I'd be glad to take that as well. But I just invite you to join us in this call of Christ to take care of the least of these.
Thank you for that. Powerful ministry. Will you pray with me? Father, as we come this morning and we consider those who are in jail or in prison, we are thankful for the gift of your love and the gift of second chance. And all of us were given a second chance at the cross. Thank you for that gift. May we never lose sight of the blessing of the cross. That's why we've come to worship today. Take everything that we have. We give you our very lives in this time of worship. May our words be true. May our souls be lifted towards your throne of grace. Speak to us. Be in this place, we pray, in Jesus' name.
With his love.
Okay. Invite the kids. Come on down. I'll wait for them. There we go. Come on, Rebecca. You're running and rolling your arms. That is impressive. All right. There's a very important thing that some of us learned in school, maybe the last couple of weeks. This is really important. I know y'all are professionals at this. Are you ready to see it? How many of y'all can do this? How many of y'all can do this? Why do we do this? Why do we do this? So we can talk. Are we supposed to talk in class unless we do? Why? It's interrupting. Very good. It's either interrupting the teacher or it's interrupting somebody else in your class. It's just good manners to go. You don't really add the little noise that I just did. I cannot do it. It's just because you know the answer. You want to, right? But sometimes I did, didn't I? I can learn. How about, okay? So, but it's really important. There's lots of different reasons why raising your hand in class is really important. And here's one maybe you don't think about. It's really important that we listen to somebody else. Because what happens if we just, the teacher asks a question and everybody starts talking? Why is that not good? Can you hear what your classmates or your friends are saying? No. We, as people, need to learn how to listen. But so, how many ears do you have?
Two.
How many mouths do you have?
One.
Somebody said we should listen twice as much as we talk, right? That's pretty smart. We have to listen more than we talk. Pastor Raymond's going to talk about that. There are people that God puts in our lives that He wants to teach us through. That could be your friends, but how can we learn from our friends unless we listen? From our teachers who want to teach us things, how can we learn from them unless we're what? The same thing is true with God. He wants us to listen for Him. Sometimes it comes through our friends, sometimes through our teachers, sometimes by reading the Bible. So this week, can you work on listening? Can you do that for me? All right, I'm going to ask your parents, and we'll see what happens about that whole listening thing. All right, let's pray together. God, thank you so much that you have put great people in our lives, our friends, our family, our teachers. You want us to listen. Help us not to want to talk so much, but to listen for what you want to teach us through all the people you have sent us. What a gift they are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good job. You're back to your seats now.
Okay. Our scripture reading for today is found in James 2, verses 1 through 17. You could join me if you'd like to follow along in your Bible or in the pew Bible that you'll find right in back of the pew in front of you. My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you pay special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, "Here's a good seat for you," but say to the poor man, "You stand there or sit on the floor by my feet," have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom He promised those who love Him? But you have insulted the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones dragging you into court? Are they not the ones slandering the noble name of Him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. If you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking it all. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not murder." If you do not commit adultery but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. So speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who's not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith, by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Would you join me in prayer, please? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these good words from James. We thank you, Father, that in our liturgical readings, we find that you lead us all through the Bible to messages that are powerful for us in your word. We thank you for calling us to listen to you as you speak to us about opening our hearts and lives to every person that we meet, for treating all equally, just in great love, reaching out to every person, for all are created by you and all need the living and loving and light-filled Jesus Christ in their lives. Help us to remember, Father, that we're all sinners. We all break your laws every day, either in neglect of thought or deed or doing something we shouldn't. We all sin. But, Father, how wonderful it is, how amazing it is that we have this great story to share of mercy, of grace, of forgiveness. Thank you that we walk and live and breathe in the grace of Jesus Christ. We breathe in that grace and we breathe it out to others. We listen to you, and there at the throne of our you, dear Lord, we find that mercy, that grace for every day we live. God, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for covering us with his blood that we may be saved, that we may be given eternal life, but that we can pass that on to others. How wonderful this treasure we have inside. So help us to share it with all regardless. Help us to listen closely to the needs of all, not just certain people, but to listen and reach out to all. Help us, Father, to expand our vision of listening, of hearing with our heart, and then of reaching out in practical help and of offering the life-transforming truth of Jesus Christ, our Savior. In thy name we pray. Amen.
you pray with me, please? Father God, we are grateful for this day. We're grateful for the freedoms that we have to be in this place of worship. For these and the many blessings we enjoy, we give you thanks and praise. Lord, we confess that sometimes we offer you prideful, self-centered, and self-serving prayers. Lord, you are well acquainted with our weaknesses. We are sometimes more concerned about our own comfort, more concerned about our own use of time and budgets. Teach us to be your hand, extended, reaching out to help others. Father God, we pray that you will help us to have a heart and the motivation of a Samaritan. May the character of our lives reflect a Christ-like heart as we reach out to others in obedience to your calling. It is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Thank you.
throne of grace. Losers and winners, saints and sinners, one day we'll see his face, and we'll all bow down. Kings will surrender their crowns and worship Jesus. He is the love, unfailing love. He is the love of God.
You can say so much through music, and I think in a way that communicates more effectively than preachers. And I think maybe that's the reason so many preachers try to sing. If you've ever been in a service where they break out in a song in the middle of a sermon, sometimes it's ugly. I mean, really ugly. Other times it's effective. And as she was singing, I thought back to times in worship when I felt really moved, felt the presence of the Lord, and there... Numerous times. But then as Teresa was playing Majesty, I'll never forget the first time I heard that song, Teresa. It was in 1983 at Prestonwood Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. and we've gone from seminary as part of a class experience, ironically enough, to critique their production. Okay? Yeah, I know. But as the service started, they had two grand pianos, black, they were about from where they, and if you extend them on to about right here. I mean, they were huge, biggest pianos I've ever seen in my life. And they had them up on stage, kind of dueling pianos kind of deal. They had those up on stage with a small orchestra behind them and a choir that just seemed like it went forever. And they cranked up with majesty, and people stood and just started singing. And it was one of those that I didn't have chills. I was a chill. I mean, I just came one big chill bump, and we worshiped. We worshiped. And as the end of the song drew near, I didn't want it to stop, because it was so heartfelt. You could feel the presence of God in that place. And the deacons in the last bit of the song came to the altar, and the way they started their service, I found out later, every single Sunday was with that song and then the deacons praying that God's Spirit would move and change hearts. It was a powerful time, and it taught me a powerful lesson about the value of not only the spoken, proclaimed word of God in worship, but how people can sing those same words and participate in lifting their praise and their worship to God. It really changed my heart in many ways about how I perceive worship. That's just for free. It really doesn't have anything to do with the scripture passage this morning. but it all relates, because we're here to worship together. We're here to learn, and I'll try my best to portray and to give the written, spoken word in a way that's faithful to our spirit of worship today. A passage of scripture we're reading is from our lectionary readings. It's from Mark chapter 7. The Gospel of Mark is the shortest gospel. It is one that scholars say that the other synoptics, Matthew and Luke, drew upon some for source material. We'll let the scholars decide about that. But it is just jam-packed with great stories. Great stories about what Jesus said and what Jesus did. And so I read from Mark chapter 7, beginning in verse 24. It says, Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus, no doubt. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. Have you ever had a child so sick and felt so helpless? Yeah. Right here, this lady's the poster girl for that case scenario. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. First, let the children eat all they want, he told her, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Okay. Yes, Lord, she replied, but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And then he told her, for such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. And when Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis, there were some people brought to him, a man who was deaf and could hardly talk. And they begged him, what do we have in common here? They begged. An outpouring, total, they begged him to place his hand on the man. And after he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears, and then he spit and touched the man's tongue. And he looked up to heaven, and with a deep sigh said to him, Ephphatha, which means be opened. At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. And Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone. But the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. Well, yeah, certainly. They said he has done everything well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. What a remarkable story. And as I looked at this story and I began to apply it to us today, I had some really great source material this week that I found some really neat insights. And as is usually the case with preparing a sermon, you know about 10 times more than you're able to do in this time. But some great reading from the Disciples Study Bible was a great help. The Interpreter's Bible, Pastor Ned Linhart had some great commentary on this. The Broadman Commentary, a lot of resources. They like Mark because there's these great stories of actions that Jesus took, what he said, what he did, and how it applies to us today. And as I thought about that, I recalled a time in my life. It hasn't been that long ago. It was a really busy day. Most of them are. This one was especially busy. And I was headed out the back door to go to my car, to go to the hospital. I had my day planned out. I thought I had everything orchestrated where I could get it all in and feel good when I went home. And as I was going out the back door, I saw motion. I looked up and I saw Paul's profile as he got off his bicycle and reached up to buzz the buzzer to come in. And I thought, well, I thought I was going to get everything done today. Let me just sit tight for a minute. And so I stood there in the hallway, and I heard Paul come in, and he said, you know, I was wondering if maybe if I could speak to Pastor Raymond. I promise I won't take too much of his time. And I heard the volunteer at the front desk say, I think he just left for the hospital. Let me check. And so I walked him down the hallway, and I said, no, I haven't left yet. Come on back, Paul. And as it turns out, Paul didn't want anything from me that day. Not really. What he wanted was to tell me about one of his failings. How he had told me something that wasn't true. And he wanted to ask my forgiveness. He said he didn't think he could go on another day without confessing it to me. And I thought I was in a hurry. And as I thought about that, and as I thought about this story from Scripture, I thought, you know, I wonder how Jesus felt at all of these spontaneous encounters with people that perhaps others saw as kind of in the way, imposing on Jesus' time. We really don't know a whole lot about this Syrophoenician woman other than the fact that she was a Gentile. Translation of that means she was what? She was not a Jew. Yeah, basically. She just wasn't a Jew. She wasn't a Jew. She was an outsider. She was a foreigner. She was not one of the chosen. She was not one of the people of God. She had no claim on Jesus, and yet she comes to him and begs him. It wasn't a casual conversation. She begs him. She pleads with him. Heal my daughter, please. Please get this demon out of her. And Jesus' refusal is quick, it's decisive, and it seems, on the surface at least, insulting. But she comes right back with a response. You gotta love this lady. You gotta love it. Was it humor? Was it humility? What was it? It could have been both. All we know is this: Jesus grants her request, and the woman's daughter is healed. The effect on Jesus' ministry at that moment is immediate, and it is instructive. Before this encounter, Jesus was seen, perhaps, as someone whose ministry really was just to God's chosen people, just to the Jews. But by the time that this lady leaves that room, the ministry is now known for a whole new mission, a whole new purpose. In short, something dramatic, something incredible has happened. Something has been revealed. Something has changed. Something will literally change the world. Did Jesus really have to be convinced to help this lady? Or was he simply revealing the prejudice in the hearts of all those who were observing what happened that day? Or was he using this to unveil an ever-expanding scope of ministry? We'll let the Bible scholars debate all of that. My perspective is this. We have so little recorded about Jesus' life in Scripture. If you take all the Gospels, that's it. That's it. That's all we've got right there. That's all the gospel account we have. Compared to the rest, how thick the rest of the Bible is. And a lot of this is redundant. A lot of this is overlapping material. And you say, well, Raymond, what does that have to tell me? Well, what that tells me is, in the scope of the total context of Scripture, what Jesus said and what Jesus did. Now, granted, the rest of the Bible is about Jesus. I get that. It's God revealing himself through his Son and through his people. I understand that. But this is what Jesus said and did. And it's really not that much. So I need to take it all in. There's no filler here. This is all what I need to read. I need to study this. If I want to call myself a Christian, if I want to be a Christ one, I need to do and say what Jesus did and said. And it's recorded right there. So let the Bible scholars argue purpose, intent, and all of that other. If I just do and say, if I behave in a way like Jesus did, I think I'm on the right track. Pay attention. Read every word. Nothing there by accident. I'll leave that there for just a moment. I want you to ask yourself this, because I have been all week. How often do I have conversations about matters of faith with schoolmates or people at work or our neighbors? If we learn that someone does not have a church family or a relationship with Christ, how much effort do we really make to engage them in conversation about what really matters to them? Sometimes I wonder, maybe that we shy away from those kind of conversations because we're really not 100% of our own faith. We're not 100% sure about our own faith. But after reading this story about Jesus' encounter with the Syrophoenician woman and with the man who could not hear and could not speak, maybe we should rethink our hesitation. After all, if Jesus wasn't worried about the outcome, why should we be? Think about that for a minute. If it's true, and by the way, it is, that we are loved by God and God's promises are true, what are we afraid of? Well, they may not listen to me. Welcome to my world. Well, they may not believe what I have to say. So? What is our hesitation? What are we afraid of? Having been part of congregations through the years that sometimes seem a little bit shy about this, I think sometimes we get so wrapped up and so worried about evangelism for no reason. Let me explain that. You see, our job is to bear witness regarding how God is at work in our lives and lead others to see how God may be at work in their own lives. Understand, they may not know that God is active in their life, that God is drawing them toward Him. They may not realize that, but as you listen to their stories, maybe you can suggest that as a possibility. Why be uptight about evangelism? Why not let it be a natural part of what you do every single day? And that's simply telling your story. It also involves listening. Listening to their stories. You see, I'm convinced evangelism really is much more about listening than it is about talking. It's much more about asking questions than it is about having all the right answers. It's much more about loving than it is about being right. Sometimes I wonder if God didn't send Paul to my office that day to remind me about some of these stories like this. To remind me, to remind us that at one point in our lives, every single one of us were outsiders. Outside of God's grace and forgiveness. And everyone, everything that we have, everyone that we encounter, We should see those as resources that God has given us to do His will. Those are resources that should be used to help bring back the last and the lost. There's a lot of stories about lost stuff in the Bible. You got the lost coin, you got the lost son, you got the lost sheep. Remember all those? You see, all of us at some point in our lives were lost. We were separated from God. And precisely that is the reason I believe God puts those stories to give us recognition of that fact. That's also why He healed people who were sick and disabled, why He ate with outsiders and rejects, quote unquote, and why He hopes that we will do the same. Even promising to be with us while we're doing it. For you see, beware. He also promises to surprise us, to show up disguised as one of those outside the church so that we can meet Him in places and people we least expect. When you think about it, isn't that what we're supposed to be about as church? Think about it. Sunday school, discipleship groups, worship, food pantry, stewardship, crisis control, food distribution, prison ministry, White Christmas, singing, praying, building habitat homes, preaching, prayer partner ministry, all of these things. Aren't we simply doing the work of Jesus until He returns? I hope so. I hope that's our focus. Loving, forgiving, welcoming as we have been loved, forgiven, and welcomed. 2 weeks from today. 2 weeks from today is National Back to Church Sunday. We've done this and celebrated it the last 2 or 3 years. It is an opportunity for you to use your conversations in the next 2 weeks to find out where people are in their lives. Engage them in meaningful conversation. Listen a lot. And then if they're not actively involved in a congregation, invite them. Let them experience what family is all about. Use these next 2 weeks. Ever since Paul appeared at my door with that simple request, can I speak with Pastor Raymond? Promise not to take up too much of his time. I've always looked differently at people stopping by the church seeking assistance. Prior to that, I think I really was compassionate, but that changed everything. His face, his words, his humility, his reverence, his sincerity, it touched my heart in a way that I can't describe it to you. It's really kind of interesting. When he left that day, he didn't ask me for anything. The whole time he was there, I could have been distracted. I wasn't, but I could have been very easily distracted in the back of mind thinking, well, what does he want? What does he want? What does he want? Bottom line, how much do you need? Sometimes in our world, that's it. We just want to throw money at it, fix it. Tell me what you need. Tell me what you need. I'll give it to you. But see, that's not what he wanted. He wasn't asking for that. He was asking for just a little bit of time. A little bit of time. He wanted to tell me his story, and he wanted me to listen. He needed to confess his shortcomings and why he desired forgiveness, how important it was to him. He needed to hear words of hope and promise and forgiveness. And in that encounter, he changed me forever. Who do you suppose that God will send through our doors of our life this week? Perhaps even today. What new stories will we hear? How many opportunities will we have to speak words of grace that hungry souls will eagerly devour? You see, for me, that face in the window won't be Paul's. Paul passed away last New Year's Eve at much too young of an age. But for me this week, it may be the face of a coworker or a neighbor, a friend, a family member. I don't know. But I need to remain open and receptive to who God's going to place in my path. And I pray that God's Spirit would open me, would open us to receive the gifts that God seeks to give and to fill our hearts with praise and with thanksgiving for the miracles, for the wonders, for the wonders that are recorded, the wonders that God is going to perform as He changes our hearts daily into the type of people that He desires for us to be. That's my prayer. I hope it's yours. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we pray that our hearts would be changed, that we would be molded, that we would have the parts that need to be chiseled off of us done so that we can be more like Your Son, Jesus Christ, who showed us how to live, who showed us how to deal with people, how to love and encourage. Oh, Father, we pray that that would be our heart, that we would come to be more like Him every single day. God, we pray that You would place people in our path, even if it means making us uncomfortable, people to help us grow in our knowledge of who You are and who You desire for us to be. And as we do so, we know that You will receive the glory. We know that others will be pointed to You. And we know that others will become more receptive to hearing the voice of Jesus Christ, the voice of the Holy Spirit in their heart drawing them to You. That's our hope. That is our prayer. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here and you have not made that decision to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, the invitation is for you this morning. It's an opportunity for you to set the relationship right. You were created to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I'm going to be standing here when we sing in just a moment. I'll be glad to share with you how you can receive Christ. Or if you don't want to talk to me this morning, call me this week. I'll be glad to meet you, have this conversation. If you're here and you are a believer and you say, Raymond, you know, the scripture, the word spoken this morning touched my heart. I need to have a more open heart to love people, meet them where they are, listen to their stories. If that's you, you can certainly square that with God right where you are. Confess your shortcomings. Let Him touch you, forgive you, restore your relationship. The altar will be open. I'll be here. I'll be glad to talk with you if that's what you'd like. If you're here and you say, I'd like to be a part of this congregation, let me tell you, this is a wonderful congregation. It really is. We've got our faults, and it's primarily because we're made up of people. But I believe we earnestly try to be God's hands and feet, and we invite you to be a part of that. There's a lot of ways we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you about that. Whatever your decision is, use this time as we sing together now. We're going to be singing, Break Out, O Church of God. What a great hymn. Break Out, O Church of God. Make your decision as we stand and sing together now.
Yeah.
I invite you to be seated for just a moment. Rachel, come on up. This is Rachel Croxton. She's been visiting with us. She's been worshiping with us for a year, year and a half, 2 years.
2 years.
2 years, yeah. And you might see right back here, these are her peeps right back here. That's right. These are people that have encouraged her and blessed her as she's come to be a part of this congregation. And she has begun to bring more and more students with her. She's a student over Wake Forest, but she wants to come. And the reason we were talking back and forth here is we do receive students by Watch Care as a type of membership. She says, no, I want to go all in. So she is coming today by transfer of letter from her home church and asking that you will continue to love and support and encourage her. And if you will do so, please join me in saying amen.
Amen.
I didn't hear anybody say no, but I didn't ask.
We didn't ask.
Yeah. If you would, at the end of the service, come by. She'll be standing here. Speak a word of encouragement to her. I know many of you, probably most of you know her by now, but speak a word of encouragement to her. Would you join me now, please, standing for our benediction? Gracious Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity, Father, to be together, to enjoy the warmth of the Spirit and the fellowship. Father, to hear your word and allow it to touch us, to change our hearts. We pray that as we go from this place, that the change that has taken place will be evident in the lives that we live. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.